stand and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. And I want to just greet my friend Veronica, who's here with us as well. God bless you, Veronica. Nice that you're here with us. Luke chapter 7. As you open up your Bibles or tap on your apps, I just want to remind you of a few things. You notice children worshiped with us and they head out after worship to children's church. We're going to be doing that for a little while and see how that works so that the children could experience worship here with their family. We did that years ago and we made some changes. We're going to reconsider it for a little while. We think it's nice for the children to see their parents worship and worship all together with us here. And then from here, they'll go to the back and also have a time of worship and be encouraged with the teaching that's there. I want to remind the church members, next week we have our yearly business meeting. We have one bilingual service at 10 a.m., and then we have a lunch break, and then at 12:30 we'll start our business meeting. It's a fun meeting. It's an exciting meeting. We're going to be presenting the building project officially to the church. I know most of you know that. Again, the information to the building project's in the foyer. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. So that's next week. You know, we are in the winter season. You never know. There could be storms and things like that. If that were to happen, we would do it the week after. But Lord willing, all will be well, and we'll see you here next week. If you're a member of the church, you know you have a responsibility and an obligation to be here. Our constitution says that we need half of the membership to be here to be able to hold that meeting. So that's important for you, and it's your responsibility as well. We elect our deacons, officials, trustees. We go through the finances, some of the reports. So we know it's an opportunity to ask questions and also be informed of all that the church is doing and where your finances are going. So it's a great time for you to be here. We look forward to seeing the whole church here. Just want to encourage you to continue to be part of the small groups prayer service on Tuesday. It's a wonderful time. The Lord is doing some really nice things in our church, and for that we're thankful. Amen. Luke chapter 7. Our theme today is a new start. So I just want to hold on to this theme for January. We started off the year speaking with regard to the thought good to great. And last year, Pastor Becky also reminded us to trust in the Lord in this new season. We want to stay with this thought as we have opened up this year. It's a new start for us, a new beginning is our theme today. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36 to verse 50. It's the story of Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. Now, you're going to notice that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's stories of Jesus being anointed by a woman. It is believed that the story of Matthew, Mark, and John are one story, and Luke is another story. So this is kind of an isolated story from those three stories, and it brings a different spin on it. I hope that you'd be encouraged by it. Luke chapter 7. Starting at verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, then wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owe money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarios, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, this is great, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among them, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word, for it is a light and a lamp that leads us and guides us each day, Lord. It is a compass in our desert times. It will give us direction to all that we need for life. It is the final authority for us, O Lord, and we trust it. So we pray, Lord God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to speak into our lives today. We pray, Lord God, that we would be open to this new thing that you're doing within each and every one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, you may be seated this morning. A new start. You know, there's times that each and every one of us need a new start. We need to change things, to embrace something new in our lives. And it's important to know that to embrace something new, at times we have to let some things go. And it's important to understand that for us to commit to the new things that God is speaking into our hearts, there's a lot of times there's things that are impeding, and God wants us to release those things so that we can embrace the new things that he wants to do in our lives. So we start this year, so many of us embracing this year, looking to put some things behind us and stretching forward to the things that God has ahead of us. We are excited about this, and we believe that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can achieve these goals. I believe this as well. We must, though, arrange ourselves. We must gather ourselves. We must put things in place, release what is not needed, and release what is holding us back. And we should respond in a way that opens up the opportunity for the new thing that God has prepared for us. So we must respond. We must change. We must take action. The Bible identifies the woman in Luke chapter 7 as a sinful woman. It's easy to see that she needed change. She came looking for Jesus. She needed a new start. She was unhappy with where she was. She was desperate for something new. She was bound and living in a dark place, completely broken. And it's easy to see that Jesus loved her. And Jesus sends her off from that meeting with hope and with faith. He sends her off from that meeting with peace and with forgiveness. He sends her off from that meeting with a newfound purpose and a new identity. But Jesus sends her off with this newfound purpose and identity. But it was not her good disposition that made that happen. And it was not even the fact that she just attended the meeting that made that happen. But there was something about her. There was something that she did, that she was doing, that she was submitting to, that drew out the words of Jesus that said, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Something about this lady that drew those words out of Jesus. Many today we may feel the same. I need a change. I need to start this year off right. I need to put some things behind me. I need to move forward into this new year. I need to move forward with faith and with hope. I want to remind you that a good disposition is not enough. Attending church regularly is not enough for a new start. What can we learn from this woman that would allow us also to hear the words of Jesus? Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What would be our position to hear the words of Jesus speak into our hearts and say, I'm going to help you achieve the very things that your heart desires to achieve? This lady came into this meeting with a desire of forgiveness. So what is the thing that God is speaking into our heart for this year? What is the thing that we know that God wants us to sharpen? The thing that God is telling us, hey, it's time to get these things right. That we would also hear the words of Jesus that say, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That we would also hear the words of Jesus to say, hey, I'm going to help you achieve these things. There's some things you might have to let go. Some things you might have to release. But with your willingness, we can get this done. And the church says, so we can learn. What can we learn from this woman in this story? How can we embark on this new start? Three observations that I'd like to make with you this morning. Three observations, things that we can do. Things that we can do to really understand how to start. Because a good disposition is not enough. Faithfully attending church is not enough. There must be something that must happen in our interior, and then it must come out of our pores. It must become who we are. We must respond in a way so that we can hear. There were many in the room, but it was only this woman who walked away with forgiveness and with peace and with joy, with a new identity. All right, three things. The first one is a new start begins with a remorseful spirit. She was remorseful. This woman was thrown at the feet of Jesus. She was crying. She was wiping his feet. She was pouring perfume on his feet. There was weeping there. There was something about this woman. She was remorseful for the life that she had lived, for the way that she was living. She came looking for Jesus. Now, I was trying to study, how did she get there? But it's believed that during that time, when there was like a rabbi or a great teacher in one of the houses and the community knew it, it wasn't like an open invitation where people can come and hear the teaching of this individual. So it had been known that Jesus was in this Pharisee's house, and the community just kind of knew this. And she gets there and she comes looking for Jesus. She must have heard something about Jesus. Maybe she had heard some of his teachings. Maybe she had heard that he had impacted other communities. Or maybe she had heard about the paralyzed man who the friends brought him to Jesus in the midst of a crowd, through a roof, brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looks at this man and says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also heals the man who had been paralyzed. And there's a debate there between Jesus and the Pharisees and the authority that Jesus takes to forgive sins. But this woman wasn't coming to Jesus looking for a miracle. She was coming to Jesus looking for forgiveness of her sins. So she must have heard, if he had the power to raise that paralyzed man, that everybody there knew he was paralyzed, and had the power to forgive him of his sins, maybe he can forgive me of my sins as well. So she throws herself at the feet of Jesus and says, and wipes his feet and cries over him, right? So, or maybe she had heard that one of Jesus' disciples, Levi, was a tax collector. Now, if you know church history, tax collectors and women of the street, they were like the low of the low. They were in the same place in society's level. They were the worst of the worst. And she may have heard that among Jesus' disciples, one of his faithful, there's a tax collector. And he forgave the sins of that tax collector. If he can forgive the sins of a tax collector, then he can forgive my sins as well. So maybe that's what motivated her to get there. But we know that she was looking for the forgiveness of her sins. And she came understanding her need and knowing her failures. This woman, she was different than the woman at the well. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She was different than the woman at the well, because the woman at the well finds herself with Jesus. And Jesus begins to tell her, "So bring your husband here." She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You're right, you don't. Because the man that you're with is not your husband, and the five others weren't your husband either." And then she's at awe, right? That Jesus reveals her past, and she walks away just happy. And she tells the people, "Hey, I have found the Messiah." She was different, though, than the woman in Luke chapter 7, although their sins were similar, because her sin had to be revealed to her, confronted. Though she knew it was there, Jesus had to confront her. This woman exposes herself before Jesus and says, "I am in need of forgiveness." You know, throughout years of ministry, we've had sad times of having to confront sin. And everybody is remorseful once sin has been confronted. Everybody is sad at that point. But there's something special about the people who come and say, "Hey, I haven't been doing good." It's something special about the people who come in a spirit of remorse and says, "Man, I no one knows, and it hasn't been revealed to nobody, but my deep conviction brings me to the feet of Jesus." And this woman, she comes to the feet of Jesus because of the lifestyle that she is living. And it's interesting. She came wanting to look for Jesus. She wanted to know. She wanted forgiveness. And she comes in front of all these men. She comes to the feet of Jesus. These men knew what type of woman she was, but her grief far outweighed any dignity that she may have had, right? Her conviction buries her pride, and she longs for forgiveness. And she longs for a new start. You see, I want to remind you here today that a spirit of remorse brings us to the feet of Jesus, and it must be accompanied by repentance. When it is accompanied by repentance, it is very powerful. A change occurs within us, and a new spirit begins of obedience and of righteousness. In Acts chapter 3, it says, "Repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out." It's encouraging to know that if we come to Christ, our sins are completely blotted out. Charles Stanley writes this. He says, "Repentance is heartfelt sorrow for sins, followed by a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ." Forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ. It's not merely just feeling remorse or guilt, but a desire to change. It's not just saying, "I am sorry." But it's changing our ways and starting new. And in that season, in that time, we begin to embark in this new righteous walk. You know, I want to just remind you that there was a great young man in the scripture that he wanted a new start. There was something wrong, something not right. And he approaches Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Follow the commandments." And he says, "I've done that since I was small." And Jesus says, "Well, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And the Bible says that he walked away sad because he had many riches. You see, he had the longing. He had the disposition. But he didn't have the willingness to make the changes. And he walks away with the same bitterness and the same sadness that he confronted Jesus with. There's so many at times that we want to make changes, but God is saying, hey, along with your remorseful spirit, there must be repentance. And the church says, amen. The apostle Paul writes this, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret." 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regrets." Maybe you're here today and you're saying, this year is going to be like no other year. That's awesome. And that fills me with joy. But we must make the changes. We must look at what we were doing that we shouldn't have done and let's stop doing it. And we must look at what we were not doing and let's start doing those things. It's changing. And it's not all about deep sin. Sometimes it's the things in life that capture our minds, our thoughts, our emotions. And God is saying, hey, let's alter those things so that we can really reach the goals that God has for us. Maybe it's things like spiritual disciplines, being faithful to the spiritual disciplines. And God's saying, hey, if these are your goals, then we must repent and say, hey, man, I wasn't doing good last year, but I'm going to do good this year. And repentance is a changing of ways, is an action, right, that we will take. Maybe it's things like being kind. Have you ever met people who are just not kind? That irks me to no end. It costs you nothing to not be kind, right? And if we ever want to be who God calls us to be, as the church of God, we must be kind, right? We should walk into a 7-Eleven as we're making our coffee. If there's 3 or 4 people there, we should say good morning. Regardless of who says good morning back, we should open the door for someone who's coming in. A spirit of kindness that comes from us shows the face of Jesus. Right? So I want to encourage you. What is it that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you? And you can personalize this. Maybe there's something in your sinful nature that you're battling with, and it's sin, and it's something that you know that God is saying, hey, you need to let that go and embrace this new year that I have for you. But maybe there's some other things in our life, and it doesn't have to be deep sin. Maybe it's the way we're holding on to some bitterness, some resentment. Maybe it's the way we're having a hard time forgiving. Maybe it's the way of a lack of generosity that dwells within us. Maybe it's something, and God is saying, hey, if you really want to embrace the new goals that I have, the new goals that I've spoken into your heart, the things that you're excited about, what is it that you feel remorseful for? And that should lead us to repentance that brings change, brings change. Because, you know, the truth is that sometimes we as the church, we are impacted by a touch of Jesus. We're impacted, man. We come to church, man. And I mean, how can you not feel touched with worship that we had here today, right? You're impacted by a touch of Jesus, right? You're impacted to know that you've had an experience with Christ. And then you go and you're really not making some of those needed changes in your life. And I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about maturity and growing in the Lord and reaching the goals that God has for us, right? To know that he who started a good work in us will bring it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. To know that we're going from glory to glory. You know, there was a man in scripture paralyzed for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for somebody to chuck him into the water so that he could have some type of miracle. No one gets there. Jesus gets there. And Jesus heals him. And Jesus tells him, pick up your mat and walk. And leaves him alone. And later on the day, the Bible says that Jesus meets him in the temple. And you know what Jesus tells him? Go and sin no more so that something worse won't happen to you. In other words, don't think that my touch and my experience with you is enough to keep you from calamity of your bad decisions. Don't think that just because you received a miracle at that moment that you're all good now for the rest of your life. If you continue in the ways that you were, know that the only thing that is left for you is the same thing that put you in that place. So I want to encourage you. We must respond to the remorse that we deal with, to the conviction that we deal with, to the guilt that we deal with. And don't think that a worship experience is enough to pull us away from that. There must be change. And the church says, a new start. See, to respond to a new start, to respond, we must have a remorseful spirit. And the church says, number two, a new start begins with a remorseful spirit. A new start begins with a genuine spirit. Genuine spirit. Something about this woman that you have to say she was genuine. It's easy to see that this sinful woman truly came with a genuine desire to find grace for the opportune moment. It was heartfelt. She had thought about what she was doing, and she comes and she does it because she needed it. She didn't care who was in that room. And she didn't even care that people knew who she was. Perhaps she had even spent time with some of those men. She wept at the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair, with her tears, kissing his feet, and pouring perfume. And it came from her heart. It was genuine. It was sincere. She humbled herself in front of everyone in that room, and with her tears and her hair, she cleans the feet of Jesus, what no one there else wanted to do. The sinful woman did it. She came with the alabaster jar. It was not cheap. It was costly. Some of the other stories tell us it could have been a year of wages. We don't know exactly how much she brought back. We know that it was costly. It was easy to see that there was no hypocrisy in her encounter with Jesus. Completely genuine. And it opened the door for a new start. Because of her genuine spirit, she gets to hear the words, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Genuine spirit. What does the Bible say about being genuine? 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Right? What we say and how we say it means more than, how we live means more than what we say. How we define our way and how we define our walk with God must be defined by a genuine spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12:9, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." When someone is genuine, they don't hide their failures or their shames. And they don't glorify them either. They try to make right what may have been wrong. When someone is genuine, they are sincere and transparent about their failures. And they don't glorify them either, but they bring them to the feet of Jesus. When someone is genuine, they admonish in love. They reprimand in love, and they're not quick to judge. When someone is genuine, they want to make things right. Cost them what it may cost them. Bring me my alabaster jar. Whatever it may mean, I want to do it because I understand that this must be done. It is sincere and it comes from the heart. When someone is genuine, their decision making is not based on what others think. Some people do good so that others may say they've done good. That is not being genuine. And some have a false sense of humility and they want to present themselves as humble, but clearly that is not genuine either. We must understand that if we want a new start, we must reckon with who we are, with our weaknesses and our frailties, and we must understand that this is who we are. We must be transparent and ask the Lord to meet us in our need and say, give us a new start, Lord. That we would also be able to hear those words that say your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. So I want to encourage you here today to be transparent, genuine, sincere. No matter where we are in life, we don't have the perfect home. We don't have the perfect marriage. We don't have the perfect children. We don't have the perfect church. We don't have the perfect relationships in our life. We're not the best with money. We haven't always been wise. We haven't always made good choices. This is who we are. And a spirit that is genuine draws us to the feet of Jesus. But it's only those that see themselves as Pharisees, higher than others. It's only those that see themselves beyond, smarter than, better off than, more prepared than. We miss it and we never get to hear those blessed words that say your sins are forgiven. Those blessed words that say go and peace, go in peace. Why? Because we have been blinded by our own prides and our own egos and our own ways, and we have missed the opportunity to hear the words of Jesus that tell us that we're forgiven. Our faith has saved us. Go in peace. So today I want to encourage you to evaluate ourselves, our words, our way of thinking, our ways of expressing ourselves. Let us be careful not to admonish people the wrong way and judge too quickly. No, but let us look inside deep within ourselves, that the Lord would allow us to see our own failures and our own faults. And when we do, that is the only time we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. It's the only time. It's the only time we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus where we get to hear those words, you are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And the church says, amen. So we're talking about a new start. A new start begins with a remorseful spirit. A new start begins with a genuine spirit. And now third point this morning, a new start begins with a spirit of worship. A new start begins with a spirit of worship. The sinful lady truly understood worship. She is at the feet of Jesus. She's crying, wiping her feet. She didn't care who saw her. She gave him, Jesus, the best that she had, the alabaster jar, because he is worthy of it. Her worship allowed her to hear the words of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Embrace this new start, is what Jesus was telling her. Embrace this new start. This story reminds us that we worship because we know who God is and we know who we are. We worship because we know who God is and we know who we are. She worshiped knowing that she was a sinner and that Jesus was a holy man. The psalmist said in Psalm 95:6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker." We know who we are and we know who he is. The psalmist said in Psalm 99:5, "Exalt the Lord your God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he." We know who we are and we know who he is. We worship him knowing that he is our redeemer, our savior. He is God and there is no other like him. We worship him knowing that he is father and father of all things, and holy is his name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A new start begins with a spirit of worship. This story reminds us that we can worship God even in our times of failure. And you start begins with a spirit of worship. This woman, in her place of failure, in her place of sin, she finds herself at the feet of Jesus. This lady is identified as a sinful woman and is now at the feet of Jesus. If you are not happy with some of the decisions that you have made, you don't have to run and you don't have to hide. You don't have to hinder your worship, but you can find grace from God for your life so that you can position yourselves at the feet of Jesus and bring the best that you have in you. Come and worship. I want to encourage you here today. If you are struggling with something, at times we want to isolate ourselves because of our struggles, because of our hardships. I want to tell you here today, no, it's then more than ever where we need to be at the feet of Jesus. Our sin and our failures can be the instrument that we use to draw us closer to God. The psalmist said this in Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. He is always holy and we are always flawed. So we can always find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. This story reminds us that our worship is not contingent of our circumstances. I love the psalmist said, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day. In other words, all day, morning and evening, good times and bad times, good seasons and bad seasons, good choices and bad choices. My mouth is filled with your praise, with your glory all day, all times and all seasons. In Job chapter 1, when he is confronted with his situation of isolation, of sickness, he says these words, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord all day, all seasons, good times and in bad times. A new start begins with a spirit of worship. This story reminds us that our worship is important because it changes our grief and sorrow into hope and faith. It changes our grief and sorrow. This lady's worship changed her grief and her sorrow into hope and into faith. It allows us to hear the words of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Maybe you're here today and you know that God is doing something new in you. And you don't know where you are. You don't know what's happening here. And God is saying, I want to do a new start. I want to tell you, start at the feet of Jesus. Worship him because he is worthy to be worshipped. The Bible says there is no name like the name of God, not in heaven or earth or below the earth. Our past failures cannot impede our current worship. Worship is an individual thing and no one around you can impede or question your worship. You know, sometimes, you know, we may think, man, these people know my questionable decisions in life. And if I raise my hand, sometimes they'll be like, oh, look at this person. I know what you just did. I know what you just said. And they want to label us as hypocrites because we want to worship even in our dark moments. Well, I want to tell you, they are the true hypocrites because in our dark moments, more than ever before, we truly need to worship. We truly need to come into the presence of the Lord. And I want to tell you, no one should impede our worship. This woman knew what these men were thinking. She knew that they were marginalizing her and deeming her a sinful woman. But yet she finds herself at the feet of Jesus. And she, as she stands there and she sits there in worship, she brings her best offering, her alabaster jar. And she says, regardless of who's around me, bring me my alabaster jar because I want to worship. And that spirit of worship allows her to hear, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. As I get ready to close our teaching here this morning, a new start. We're in the beginning of the year and so many of us are setting goals. And so many of us are saying, I want to get this right. I want to do this. I didn't do this last year. I want to do this year. So many of us are saying, hey, I want to get these things right in my life. I'm going to be focused on these things, and I'm going to release these things, and I'm going to be faithful to those things. Well, if you just put it here, it's not enough. If it's just here, it's not enough. It must deal with our spirit, and it must come out of our pores, right? It starts with what? A remorseful spirit. To take responsibility that I did not do it right. And to repent. And to be genuine about it. This is it. This is who I am. I didn't do my best. I didn't do my best. To be genuine about it. Transparent about it. This is who I am. And to bring it all to the feet of Jesus and say, I make you my Lord and Savior, my master, and I will do it your way, and I will live your way. And it's only there where we can be encouraged with the words of Christ that says your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In other words, the past is gone. You believe in God for the thing that God wants to do in your life has saved you. It has allowed you to have the success that God wants you to have. It has positioned you in the right place at the right moment. And he says, go in peace. In other words, get ready to embrace this new opportunity, this new purpose, this new thing that we want to do in you and through you. So I just want to encourage you here today as we bring closure to our teaching this morning. A new spirit begins, a new season begins with a remorseful spirit, a genuine spirit, and a spirit of worship. What is God saying to you right now? What is it that we are dealing with some type of remorse or guilt or something in our lives? And God is saying, hey, and it doesn't have to be deep sin. It's just the things that we've missed the mark on. I could probably give you a list of a few things I missed the mark on. That I said, I gotta sharpen these things in my life. I missed the mark on these things. And we should feel guilty for that. If we have the Holy Spirit within our lives to help us get those things, reach those things, there should be a sense of guilt that says, I blew it. I didn't achieve it. And a genuine spirit says, it's nobody else's fault but my own. Can't blame the church. I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame my spouse. I'm the problem. I missed the mark. But a new spirit begins. A new season begins in a spirit of worship that says, I surrender all. Jesus, I bring you the best that I have. The best that I have, and I leave it at your feet. Every emotion I have. Everything I'm able to obtain, I leave it at your feet, because here is where I begin my new start, at your feet. Let us rise as we bring closure this morning. The Bible reminds us, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenlyward in Christ Jesus. To forget and to reach. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's all that we have, O God. It's what leads us in our desert times. So, Father, you have spoken into our hearts with regard to this new season, getting some things right, moving on into some new things in our lives, things that we have missed the mark on in the past. Father, I pray, oh Lord God, that we would allow the remorseful spirit to sit in, to take its place, conviction, take its place. Where have we failed? That we would be genuine about it. Genuine about it. I blew it. I could have done better. I could have been sharper here. Regardless of who is around me or who knows or don't know, I know I could have done better. But I find myself at your feet and I bring you the best that I have. Because I know, Lord God, that you are worthy
of worship. And it's so wonderful to know that you don't reject us, oh God. You don't reject me in my shame or in my disobedience or in my laziness. You don't reject my worship, but you allow me to bring the best that I have. And I get to hear those words that say, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Father, we pray, Lord God, that your word would resonate with us, that our Sunday would change our Monday. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. As you are here today, this morning, and as we sing this next song, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that means you haven't asked Jesus into your life. You absolutely need a new start today. And he says, respond to the remorseful spirit. Be genuine that you need him. And giving your life to him is a spirit of worship. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or you've backslidden, or you just have been further than closer, and the Lord is speaking to you today, and you feel like, you know, I could identify with this woman. I haven't lived right. And God has been confronting me, dealing with me, speaking into my heart. And now I find myself in a setting where Jesus' presence is there. If the Lord is speaking to you this morning and you would like prayer and you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior, or reconcile to the Lord, or recommit, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to invite you to come. We want to pray with you. And if you're part of the church already and you're saved, and but you know that God is speaking to you with regard to embracing this new season, and you would like prayer, the altar is also open for you as well. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've been changed. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.